The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Yes, this is End Time Headlines. We are going to do a special broadcast tonight. If this is your first time joining us, let us know under the Facebook Live comments, under the section there, right there under the comments. Let us know if this is your first time coming onto the broadcast, you're new to the broadcast. Let us know where you're joining us from. If you're watching this by YouTube, as always, we want to welcome you to the broadcast, and we hope that you would let us know that you're also a new viewer as well. And we welcome our podcasters as well. So tonight, without further ado, let's get into this thing. We're going to talk about unmasking ghosts and the paranormal. Unmasking ghosts and the paranormal. Now, these two terms are used all the time, especially in Hollywood, television, novels, even in cartoons. I mean, my goodness, if you try to let your kids watch any kind of cartoons or television, every program has got something to do with Halloween, to do with ghosts, with goblins, with whatever, okay, that has relation to this topic. It's everywhere we go. You turn on television on primetime networks, there's all kinds of shows about the paranormal, paranormal activity, ghost hunters, and the list goes on. So I want to talk about this tonight. What the world deems and terms as one thing is not what it appears to be. So, for example, the word paranormal denotes events or phenomena such as telekinesis or clairvoyance. Again, this is by definition here, that are beyond the scope of normal scientific understanding. In other words, it's supernatural. The word ghost, by definition, is a, quote, apparition of a dead person which is believed to appear or become manifest to the living. Now, I'm going to disprove, even though your dictionary terms a ghost as that, that's what the world has defined this, that's what the world labels it as, but according to the Word of God, that is not what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with the deceased soul and spirit and or spirit of an individual that's coming to haunt us or in a home or whatever the case may be. We're going to prove that tonight. We're really going to dig deep. So all you guys that like the meat of the Word of God, you're going to love this teaching tonight. All right? So buckle up. We're going to go for a ride. We're going to start in the Old Testament first, and then we're going to work our way into the New Testament. So if you have a Bible, I would really like you to have a Bible and follow along with me. If not, you can listen, take notes, do this however you want to. You guys on podcasts, on YouTube, by the time you get to this message, it will already be live broadcasted, so you'll have more time to do that. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. The Lord is given He's given instructions to His people. And this is what he says. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Let me say that again. He tells his people, do not learn to follow or become accustomed to or celebrate, come on somebody, the abominations of those nations. Now, what are these abominations? He's going to detail these in Deuteronomy 18. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. Now that's talking about Molech. That's an idol god in the Old Testament, at which this thing was heated up and it had a grill in it. And they would take their sons and daughters and pass them through the fire. This was called an abomination. Anyone who practiced this, anyone who partook of this, anyone who participated in this and passed their sons or their daughters through the fire, it was an abomination unto the Lord. But then he goes on and he says, or anyone who practices witchcraft. And by the way, witchcraft in America is an all-time high. Okay? Witchcraft in America right now is at an all-time high. You've got practicing Wiccans, people who delve into witchcraft. Even the body of Christ has been duped with this. In Christian homes, there's novels and there's books and there's children's books and there's movies and there's television programs that are loaded down and filled with witchcraft and propaganda. He said, but there should not be found anyone among you that's practicing witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer. Now, I could break down all of these, but there's no way I'd get through this whole message. So I got to leave you with being able to do your own homework on here. So you can look up what a soothsayer is. You can look up one who interprets omens. You can look up what a sorcerer is. Listen, verse 11, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Okay? Verse 12, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Come on, take a deep breath. I know this stings a little bit, but if you've got things in your home that fall in these categories, God calls these things an abomination. And I implore you to get rid of them quickly. Get it out of your home. Get it out of your apartment, your home, your trailer. Get it out of your car. Get it out of your playlist. Get it off your DVR. Get it out of your library. Get rid of it. He says, all these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Listen to this. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations which you will dispossess, listen to the soothsayers and diviners, but as for you. In other words, he's saying the world plays with this stuff. The world delves into Ouija boards. The world delves into tarot cards. It delves into palm reading. It delves into witchcraft. It practices these things. It sees nothing wrong with these things. They openly worship it. They practice it in the name of fun, in the name of a good time, in the name of tradition, in the name of celebration. They partake of these things. They celebrate these things. Okay? And he says, these nations do this. He said, but as for you, the Lord God has not appointed such for you. Come on, is there anybody else out there today? Is there anybody left that still believes that God has a distinction between those who know him and those who don't, and those who serve him and those who do not? Is there anybody that still believes in the word of God? It says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself, and you shall be sons and daughters. Is there anyone else that believes that? Now, in case you say, well, that's Old Testament, let's go to the New Testament. I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, but you can go to the book of Acts chapter 8. And there Philip is having a revival in the city of Samaria. And it says, in the midst of this revival, unclean spirits are coming out of people. They're being cast out of people that were possessed. There's people that were paralyzed and lame. They were healed. They were delivered. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a man there by the name of Simon. According to the word of God, he previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, for whom the Bible says they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Did you hear that? Did you hear the deception? Here's a man by the name of Simon who practiced sorcery, and the people attributed the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and the supernatural, they attributed it to God. But when Philip showed up with the real God, with the real Holy Ghost, it made a distinction between the counterfeit and the authentic, between the real and the fake, between, come on, what the world calls a ghost and the real Holy Ghost. So listen to this. Here's some more scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. Come on, so take a deep breath again. I know this stings a little bit. It's like going to the doctor and getting a shot. You got to take a deep breath. It'll be over shortly. Abstain from every form of evil. And look, do we really have to define what evil is? I mean, seriously, guys, are we to a place where we actually have to define what evil is? Is there not discernment in the body of Christ anymore? Is our senses not exercised to a level of maturity where we cannot distinguish what is evil and what is not? Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let me read that again. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. He said, don't have any fellowship. Do you know what the word fellowship means? If it's anything like the Greek word in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, the word fellowship there is koinonia, and it's an intimate level of fellowship. It's to be bonded with, yoked with, have a common interest with, locking arms with, have no fellowship. Not only did he say with the works of darkness, but he says the unfruitful works of darkness. What fruit is there? Come on, somebody. What fruit is there in watching movies? And look, I'm going to tell you right now. I was raised in a home. I was not raised in church. For 23 years, I did not know the Lord. My mom, when I was raised, my mom watched every Stephen King movie. She watched every Friday the 13th. She watched every Halloween. She watched all these scary movies, these horror movies, all these demonic movies. So I grew up watching all these things. I could tell you every Nightmare on Elm Street. Come on, somebody. Friday the 13th, The Chainsaw Massacre. I watched all of them. And I enjoyed them because I grew up watching these things. But when I got saved and born again and filled with light and filled with the Holy Ghost, I try to go back and watch these things again, and the Holy Spirit will wrestle with me and he'll deal with me and tell me to shut it off, turn it off. Why? Because there's no fruit in it. Now I'm going to tell you the fruit that is produced. Let me tell you the fruit that comes out of letting your kids watch that stuff growing up like my parents did. I forgive them. They knew not what they did. I've already forgiven them. They've gone on to be with the Lord. I don't hold any grudges against them. But let me tell you what it produced. Let me tell you the fruit that it produced by me sitting in front of that junk and watching that junk. You ready? It opened the door for the spirit of fear. To this day, to this very day, you think I'm going to go out in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of the dark and roam around and do a cornfield maze in the middle of the dark with a flashlight? No, I don't think so. Well, brother, you shouldn't be scared. I know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But that don't mean I'm going to be stupid and go out and do that. I'm just telling you, it opens the door. So you want to open the door for that stuff? Just lay that welcome mat out there and do that. And this is why Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Somebody say expose them. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to unmask ghosts and we're going to unmask the paranormal. All right. Now we're going to slow it down and I want to show you something here. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. I'm going to give you a second to turn there. I'm hoping some people have their Bible and they can turn there with me. 1 Samuel 28. I want to give you a little backdrop. King Saul is chosen over the nation of Israel to be their king, not by God, but by the people. The people wanted King Saul, not God. It was never God's intent for them to have the king over them, but it was the will of the people. And there was a wrestling between the Lord and the prophet. And the prophet was grieved because the people demanded a king. And he said, and finally the Lord said, give them the king, give them what they want, and they will suffer the repercussions of the very thing that they believe they need to have. So here they have King Saul. King Saul started out good, but then he began to get full of pride. He began to get full of himself. He began to disobey the Lord. And as a result of disobedience, we all know the story. He lost the anointing. He lost the call, and it was stripped from him, and God raised up David. And in the midst of this, he opened himself up because of his jealousy towards David. He opened himself up to demonic spirits. Now listen to this. Watch this. 1 Samuel 28, verse 28. I'm sorry, verse 1. 1 Samuel 28, 1. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, Achish, however you pronounce it, said to David, quote, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." So David said to him, Surely you know that your servant can do. And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever." Verse 3, now Samuel had died. Here's the prophet. The prophet's dead. So the one who was speaking into Saul's life, he heard from God. He was speaking to Saul's life. Now Samuel has died. Okay? Thus eliminating the middleman between Saul and God. And all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Why? Because it was a commandment of the Lord. And then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, listen to this, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dream or by Urim or by the prophets. So you got to get this. So Saul is fearful. He's trying to seek, like all the other times, he would seek the Lord to get an answer. But God is not nowhere to be found. Why? Because of his rebellion, because of his pride, because of his arrogance. And now the prophet is gone in his life. So he's crying out to God and getting no answer. Now let's look at the next part. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." Now I want you to think about that for a second. Here is the man who the Lord instructed to drive out the necromancers, the spiritists, the mediums, the sorcerers, those who practice enchantments. He drove them out of the land because they were an abomination unto the Lord. But now he is desperate, seeking an answer, and now he's going back to the very thing that God brought him out of, and he's doing things that he should not be doing. Listen to this. So that brings up a question. Why do people turn to mediums or fortune tellers or people that can tell their fortune or their future? Because believe it or not, people all over the world still do this today. I'm going to give you three basic reasons why they do it. Number one, they do it out of ignorance, out of curiosity. They're seeking God in the wrong places. They're looking for affirmation. They're looking for confirmation. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for destiny. And I'll say it, and I've always said this, they're calling God, but they've got the wrong phone number. So instead of going to God the way they should be and seeking after him, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of going and seeking after God, instead they've got the wrong number. They're going to mediums, they're going to fortune tellers, they're going to tarot card readers, they're reading their horoscope, they're going in every direction except for the right direction. So number one, people do it out of ignorance. Number two, they do it out of fear of their future. They do it out of fear. This is what Saul did. He was afraid. He began to suffer anxiety and fear and worry and hopelessness. And he had to have an answer. So he was going to use whatever methods he could use. And unfortunately, he was doing something that God said was an abomination. Okay? And number three, they do it out of desperation for an answer. So number two and number three kind of interchange with each other, but one is out of fear and one is out of desperation. Okay? All right. So listen to this. I got to read this. Let me tell this story real quick, because this ties right in with this. And some of y'all has heard this, and I know we got all kinds of new people that's never heard this story. My cousin, whom personally knew, she was a good friend of hers years and years ago when she's saved and born again and filled with the Spirit. Thank God. The Lord used me to lead her to the Lord. But at one time, she wasn't serving God. She was into drugs. She was into all kinds of stuff. And she had a very good friend of hers that she grew up with. She went to high school with. And her friend, one night, got a hold of and got connected with a tarot card reader because she wanted to know her future. She wanted to know her destiny. So she went there and to this tarot card reader. So when she got there at the table, they lay out all these cards, and each card represents a certain element of your future. Okay. Now, some of these are fake and some of these operate by a spirit that we're going to talk about in just a second. But in this case, this tarot card reader was telling her future, flipped over a card and said, "I would like to tell you more, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to stop. I don't really want to discuss any more furtherance of what I'm picking up on." But my cousin's friend implored her and said, "I must know. You got to tell me no matter what it is." And she flipped it over. There was a card she flipped over, and it was a card that represented death. And this tarot card reader, this woman began to prophesy, because this was absolutely demonic, and spoke to this woman and said, "I see in the near future that you're going to be involved in an accident. You're in a truck, and this truck is going to fall on top of you, and it's going to crush you and kill you." Well, my cousin's friend heard this, and she, fear gripped her, and she left this place. And listen to me, friends. She dwelt on that day and night. She meditated upon this word that was given to her. Fear gripped her heart. So what's really sad about this, had she been around a spirit-filled believer, they could have told her, "Listen, we cancel that in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over that. We cancel that word and null and void it in the name of Jesus, and it shall not come to pass." But because she didn't have anybody in her life like that, she kept dwelling on this every single day, wondering when it was going to happen, when it was going to come to fulfillment. How many days did she have left? When was she going to die in this car accident? So listen to me, friends. Clean out yours. This is a true story. I wish my cousin was here because she could tell you in much more detail than I am. But one night she went out partying, drinking with her friends. They all loaded up in this pickup truck, and they were going down a back road, a country. It was back in the country, in the woods, and they were flying down a road, and they were going way too fast. And this girl, whom, remember, went to the tarot card, had this, her fortune read to her. All of a sudden, a spirit of fear gripped her, and she said, Oh my God, this is it. This is how it's going to happen. So she began to be so fearful and panic that she was in the cabin of the truck. She began to crawl her way out, and she tried to reach out. And this was back in the day when everybody didn't buckle in their seatbelts and people would get in the back of the truck. And you remember those days? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but you didn't have seatbelts and all that. So she tried to scream and crawl her way out of the passenger side truck. In the process of doing this, she's hanging out of the truck. So when they go around a corner, there's so much weight bearing on the side of the passenger side that it makes the truck lean to the weight, and the truck fell over, and you guessed it, it landed on top of her and crushed her. And the very thing that the devil prophesied to her. Did you know the devil can tell you things that if you believe it and you receive it, and if you don't know the word of God, then if you meditate on that thing and you speak that thing into fruition, it will come to pass over your life. And the very thing that was spoken over her, she believed it and it came to fruition. Now you say, I don't know if I believe that. Listen, it don't matter if you believe it or not. It really happened. And it happens all the time. When you read a horoscope, why do you want to read anything that's got horror in it? And you believe that, you receive that. When you go to a fortune teller, or you try to contact the dead through a Ouija board or whatever the case may be, you are receiving words and demonic prophecies over your life. Because, guys, can I tell you something? The devil is not all-knowing, but he does know certain elements about your life. And he can make up things. As long as you believe it, you'll receive it. Oh, you don't want to hear this tonight. I can get, because you know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know that fear can come too. Job said in the book of Job, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. The power of life and death is in the tongue. A man shall eat well by the fruit of the increase of his lips. So let me say this. The Bible is filled with the mentioning of spirits. Now, listen, don't expect me to read all these scriptures, because I'm not going to. So I'm going to give you the scripture. I'm going to give you the reference to it, but I'm not going to read the whole passage. All right. So let's start this thing. You ready? Here we go. Mark 9:25 mentions a deaf and dumb spirit. In other translations, it's called a mute spirit. Mark 9:17, Mark 9:25 is a unclean spirit, and it mentions a deaf and dumb spirit. Mark 9:17 mentions a mute spirit. Matthew 10 mentions an unclean spirit. Luke 7:21 mentions an evil spirit. Luke 13:10-11 mentions a spirit of infirmity. 1 Timothy 4 mentions a seducing spirit. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 mentions a spirit of fear. Numbers 5:14 mentions a spirit of jealousy. Judges 9:23 talks about a spirit of ill will. 1 Kings 22 mentions a lying spirit. Isaiah 29:10 mentions a spirit of slumber. Isaiah 61:3, a spirit of heaviness. Hosea 4:12 mentions a spirit of harlotry. Micah 2:11 mentions a false spirit. And then in Revelation 2:20, it mentions Jezebel. Now, hold on here. How can Jezebel be mentioned seducing the church and the prophets in the church in Revelation chapter 2 when she was slain by Elijah and eaten by the dogs? You ready for the answer? It's the spirit of Jezebel. Come on, you hear about this all the time, the spirit of Jezebel. Well, that spirit is mentioned in Revelation 2:20. And then listen to this. Let me get back to Saul. Saul becomes so desperate that he tells his servants, find a woman. This is what your Bible says. Find a woman with a familiar spirit. In other words, she's possessed with a familiar spirit. How does she have knowledge of the dead? How does she have knowledge of things that has happened and things that has not yet happened? Answer, a familiar spirit. Now, what is a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit, aka ghost. The world calls it a ghost. Your Bible calls it a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is a spirit that is familiar with a particular individual, a family, or a region. A familiar spirit can remain in that particular location due to a prior event that may have taken place there, such as a murder, a crime, or a sacrifice. Thus, there was the involvement of the shedding of innocent blood, or the shedding of blood. When there's a shedding of blood, it attracts evil spirits. So listen, spirits don't die. They are eternal. They're like angels. They don't die. They don't have an ending. They exist. Come on, Satan, Lucifer is a spirit. God is a spirit. He's been here for eternity. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you is ever living. He, come on, is alive in you. You can't kill him. Okay? So listen, when there's been a murder, a crime, a sacrifice in a region, a location, a house, a home, a location, there was evil spirits that were attracted to that. Okay? And they remained there, and many of these spirits are territorial. So watch this. So when a crime has taken place there, when a murder has taken place there, when a sacrifice, what do you mean by sacrifice, brother? Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, 20 through 21. Listen what Paul told the church of Corinth. But I say to you that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Over in places like Haiti, and places like in India, and places overseas, there is actual animal sacrifices. There's witch doctors. There's human sacrifices that involves demonic powers. And there's a shedding of blood. And they do these things to their quote-unquote gods, plural, or their idols. But listen what Paul says. When they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. That's what Paul told the church of Corinth. Now listen to this. I got to show you this. Saul, so here's what Saul does. He disguises himself, your Bible says, because he goes in the stealth of night. He disguises himself. He clothes himself where he cannot be recognized. Why? Because of guilt, because of shame, because he knew it was an abomination. It's amazing what we will do when we start going into sin. When we start going away from God, when we start walking away from God, when we start falling away from God, it's amazing. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the first thing they did was they began to try to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. So here's Saul. Look at this. Here's Saul. At one point, he was in the open square saying, look at me. I'm your king. Look what I've done. And God was with him. But when he began to fall away from God, now he's roaming around in the midnight hour in the darkness of the night. And he's hiding and disguising himself. Why? Because of his shame. Why? Because that's what sin does. It will keep you out of the presence of God and bring you right into the devil's camp. Okay? Now listen to this. So the woman asked him, so now he's consulting this woman who has a familiar spirit. And your Bible says the woman asked him who he wanted her to call up. And Saul told her, Samuel. I want to speak to Samuel. Now I'm going to stop right there. It's impossible. Samuel is dead. His soul and his spirit are in a place called Abraham's bosom, because this was in the Old Testament. You can read Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Remember, the rich man, he opened his eyes and he was in torment. He was in a flame, and there was a great gulf fixed between them. And he begged, come on, he begged and said, Let Abraham come and dip his finger in the water that it may soothe me. He said, I have brothers out there that I need to warn. And what did the Lord tell him? You cannot leave this place. So I'm going to tell you something. Samuel, the prophet, is not who she's going to bring up from the dead. All right? So just keep that in mind. Just like when you hear about, well, there's a ghost of so-and-so that's in the bedroom. There's a ghost in so-and-so that's in so-and-so's house. I'm not going to go there. It's haunted with ghosts because of a murder that took place. And that's the ghost and that's the spirit of that old colonel that died, or that old woman that was slain, or that old that daughter that was did accidentally drown in the tub. No, it's not their spirits. It's not their souls. It's a demonic spirit called a familiar spirit that was a testimony, it was an eyewitness to the murder that was there, that was attracted to it, that has remained there to torment people. You get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost to go in there and they'll be driven out of that place. Okay? So I got to get back to this text. I'm running out of time here. Saul told her, Samuel, I want to speak to Samuel. Immediately she had a, so here's what your Bible says. Immediately this spiritess had a terrifying vision. And Saul asked her, what did you see? And she, listen what she said. I see, quote, gods, plural, G-O-D-S. I see gods coming out of the earth. Well, that should have been a red flag right there, because Paul said in the church, he told the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is not multiple gods. There is only one God. There's only one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's only one Lord, Jesus Christ. But yet this spirit says, I see gods coming out of the earth. Notice they're coming out of the earth. Not out of heaven, out of the earth. And an old man. Oh, I see an old man covered with a head covering. And listen, what it, notice she never said it was Samuel. But listen, your Bible says that Saul perceived it was Samuel. He was so convinced, so desperate to hear an answer, that he was willing to embrace and accept the lie. This is absolutely terrifying, guys. So Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he bowed down to the ground. And then the old man whom Saul could not see. Here he can't even see the man, but he says, oh, it's Samuel. It's got to be Samuel. And this old man chastised him for disturbing him. And despite this, Saul asked him, what should I do about the Philistines? Now Saul doesn't even realize it, but he's speaking directly to demonic powers that came out of hell. They came out of the earth. These are demons that came right out of the bowels of hell. And Saul's having a dialogue with them. And he's asking them, what do I do about the Philistines? They're coming to attack me. They're coming to take me out. Listen to this. And the old man said, here's what he tells Saul. He says, God has departed from you, Saul. Notice he tells him the truth. Even the demons recognize this. And listen to this. And was his enemy because he had not obeyed the Lord. Whew. He added this. Saul, now this is a terrifying part. Ready for this? This demon speaks to Saul and says, you and your sons will be captured by the Philistines. And when Saul heard this, he was consumed by fear and fainted. Did you hear that? He was consumed by fear and fainted. In other words, just like my cousin's friend, when that woman spoke through demonic powers and prophesied to her, prophelied, I'd rather like to say, and spoke a demonic prophecy over her, she was consumed with fear, meaning she received it. Saul receives this. And guess what happened, guys? Read your Bible. Everything the demon prophesied to Saul, because Saul received it, it came to pass. Saul died on the field. Come on the battlefield. He fell on his own sword. Just like what was told to him by this demonic power, and his son was not separated him in his own death. Is this not terrifying? Now listen, there's numerous things to consider about this account. I know we've been on here. I'm going to get through this pretty quick, guys. I got to get through this. I've got so many notes on this. I'm going to try to get through this. But I got to read this real quick. Let me get through this. All right. Number one, this vision was only visible to a woman with demons, as I pointed out. And she was communicating what was called a familiar spirit. Secondly, the voice that Saul heard was a delusion or a form of deception. I'm just kind of reiterating this again. Now, in case you didn't know this, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, we see there's a time coming when the Antichrist and the false prophet is going to come on the scene. And the Bible says there will be a strong delusion that will be unleashed upon the earth, that even the very elect will be deceived. Okay? And I'm not going to read all this for sake of time. So that, and even so, that this false prophet will be able to cast fire down out of heaven. So there'll be false miracles and signs and wonders that will take place. Okay? And you say, well, how could Satan know these future events? Okay? Well, let me give you that. Matthew 8:28-33. Listen, demons know partial things about future events. Remember when Jesus was casting out devils in Matthew 8:28-33? The Bible says that these demons manifested and says, why? They called him Jesus, Son of God. Why have you come to torment us before our time? This is phenomenal. Number one, these demons recognized that he was the Son of God. Number two, they recognized that they had an eternal destiny, and that was to be, cast into the lake of fire. And they said, why have you come to torment us before our time? Okay? So, again, demons know in part. They're not omnipotent like God. They're not all-knowing. They don't know everything. But let me give you some more examples of this. When Jesus was baptized in the water and the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Follow him. What happened right after that? The Bible says that Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the desert or in the wilderness. And what did Satan say? If you're the Son of God, implying here that Satan hears things in the spirit realm. There's things that's released, and he sees and he hears things that we give him credit for. In other words, like when, for example, when prophetic words are released over your life, not only are you hearing it, not only are you receiving it, but demonic powers are there and they hear it. Why do you think Paul told Timothy, with the prophecies that has been spoken over you, wage a good warfare? Why did he have to wage a good warfare? Because demonic powers were released to try to hinder, to try to stop that which had been spoken over Timothy and over his destiny. This is why Paul said, with a great and effectual door, with it unto me comes much adversity. So why do we think it's perplexing when we receive a prophetic word, when we receive a word from God, when we get a word of encouragement or exhortation? Maybe it's an absolute prophetic word of God. We write it in our devotional and we write it in our journal and we get excited about it. And then it seems like all hell breaks loose over the very thing that was spoken over us. Well, hello, it's because every devil in hell knows he can't stop it from coming to pass. So he's going to try to hinder it from coming to pass. And I'm talking about you that are blood-bought, born again, filled with the Spirit, covered by the blood of Jesus, and your name's in Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, if you're born again and you're filled with the Spirit and you're serving and actively walking with God, Satan can't stop you, but he can hinder you. He can try to get you off course, but he can't stop your destiny. He can't stop your journey. All through the New Testament, Paul said that Satan hindered him. He delayed him. Come on. He's trying to stop you from fulfilling your destiny. But as long as you're in Him, as long as you're walking with Him, as long as you're serving Him, you can't be stopped. That brings me to my next point. But the last part about this, the other side of the coin is this. If you don't know God, you don't have a relationship with Him, you're not born again, you're not under the blood, you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you can be succumb to fear and the spirit of fear, the spirit of death, anxiety, worry, all these spirits. You can open yourself wide open to these things because you have no covering. You have no protection. You have no angels protecting you lest someone's praying for you, lest someone's interceding for you, lest someone's travailing and fasting for you. So if you're watching this tonight, and let me make this one last point, then we're going to pray. This is why you can't curse what God's blessed. Come on, Balaam learned that. Balaam, when he tried to curse what was blessed, it kept coming back. Because you can't curse what God's blessed. So listen, man of God, woman of God, stop worrying about witches and warlocks trying to curse you if you're under the blood. If you're under the blood, if you're in covenant with Him and you're walking with Him, and you say, "Oh, but Brother Ricky, I've slipped, I've failed, I've fallen short, I've sinned." Well, friend, repent and get back under the blood. That's where grace comes in. So my concern tonight, so listen, we've unmasked ghosts. We've told you what ghosts are. Now that you know what ghosts are, you need to take authority over them things. Take some anointing oil. Take the profession of the blood of Jesus. Go in there with the authority. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing by no means shall harm you." Now that you know the truth, my friends, He's given you power to loose and bind. And to take authority over demonic powers. And now that you know what the paranormal is, it's not activity of the spirits and the souls of those who have died and gone and they're stuck in the middle between eternity and earth. No, it's demonic powers and principalities and spirits. Ephesians chapter 6, that's what we're dealing with here. But I want to listen. But I don't want to close this broadcast without, I believe somebody or somebodies are watching this program and you're listening to this. And just like this woman, maybe some devils come along and they spoke to a spiritist. They spoke to a fortune teller. They spoke to a horoscope. They spoke to a tarot card reader. They spoke to somebody and they have spoken demonic prophecies over you. They try to tell you that you're going to die young. They try to tell you that you're going to die of a horrible disease. They try to tell you and convince you that you're going to die of a car accident. Friends, that is not of God. And you say, "Why are you yelling?" Because I am passionate about this. John 10:10 says, "For the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." Jesus has come to give you life and the devil has come to take your life. It's time that you, come on, it's time to quit fellowshipping with the kingdom of darkness and get into the kingdom of light. You can't fellowship with devils and fellowship with God. Stop drinking from the cup of demons and drinking from the cup of the Lord. Choose ye this day whom thou shalt serve. I don't know about for you, but for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. And you say, "Well, brother, you don't know how far I've gone into this thing. I'm deep in this thing." Listen, there ain't a valley deep enough. There is not a covenant that is strong enough. There is not a spell strong enough. There is not an entity that's more powerful. There is not an angel, nor height, nor depth, nor creatures living, nor things present, nor things to come, that can separate you from the love of Christ. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is so powerful that it was shed 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary at Golgotha's hill, and that blood is still flowing through Emmanuel's veins, and it's still flowing, and it still has the power to disarm the principalities and powers that then, and it can disarm the principalities and powers over your life. So right where you are right now, I don't care what you're in, I don't care what you've done, I don't care what you're doing. I declare to you tonight that the power of the devil is being broken off of your life. That the power of God is setting some people free tonight. I declare in the name of Jesus that you're being set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to invade that phone, invade that tablet, invade that laptop, invade that office, invade that vehicle, invade that office, that kitchen, that living room, wherever they're watching this, wherever they're hearing this, right where they are. I'm asking the Holy Spirit would begin to overshadow them. Their heart is beating out of their chest. That's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, my friend. And you say, what do I do, Brother Ricky? What do? You yield to Him. You begin to repent of your sins right where you're at. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask Him to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Ask Him to wash you clean of your sins. Begin to renounce. Oh, somebody needs to begin to renounce the powers of darkness. Come on, you know what you're in. I don't have to name it. Don't wait for this preacher to name your sins, to name your vices, to name your addictions and your allegiances. Begin to renounce them right where you are. Begin to renounce them. I renounce this. And come on, some people are beginning to, you're renouncing witchcraft. You're renouncing darkness. You're renouncing sorcery. You're renouncing black magic and the dark arts. You're renouncing Hinduism, and you're renouncing false gods and idols and idolatry. Hallelujah. You're renouncing allegiances, and you are making a covenant tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom the Lord has set free is free indeed, my friend. And I believe that is well as I'm sitting here tonight, I believe with all my heart that somebody's going to receive this word tonight. Somebody's getting set free tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Come on, all God's people said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, aren't you thankful for the word of the Lord tonight? Listen, we thank you so much, guys, for joining us for this broadcast. Listen, we had people praying and interceding all day, and it absolutely shows. I felt the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. I believe some people were absolutely touched and set free by this broadcast tonight. Listen, if this is your first time joining us again, please, right there under Facebook Live, click on the link. Subscribe to our daily digest. Every single day you'll get a digest. You just type in your email address and you'll get a digest in your inbox every single day. And you'll get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. If you're watching this by YouTube, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you'll go to that website, you'll see where you can subscribe to us. If you'd like to sow a seed into this ministry, if you'd like to partner with us, be a monthly partner, maybe it's a one-time gift, whatever the case may be. If this is your home church, we ask that you be faithful with your tithes, your offerings, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, we ask that you be obedient to that with your finances. And listen, the Lord will open the windows of heaven, and I believe He still pours out His blessings, and that you'll have not room enough to receive it, and He rebukes the devourer for your name's sake. Till then, God bless you guys. Be safe. May the Lord bless you. May His countenance shine upon you.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.